This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on Union Budget 2024-25. The participants are Anil Padmanabhan, Economic Analyst, and Vaibhav Jayashrivastava, Anchor.
The first Union Budget of the historic third term of the Modi government was presented by the Honorable Finance Minister, Srimati Nirmala Sitharaman, who presented her seventh straight budget yesterday. To talk about the budget and know about its intricacies and impacts, we have with us Sri Anil Padmanabhanji, Senior Economic Analyst. Welcome to the studio, sir.
Thank you, Vaibhav.
So what are your first thoughts about the Union Budget and what would be the major impact areas?
See, Vaibhav, my first thought is based on the expectations that we had in the run-up to this budget. So, given the general election result, one expected that the government would use its huge war chest of fiscal resources to probably, you know, engage in some kind of revenge populism to regain the electoral narrative, as it were. But I was pleasantly surprised to see the budget that it is totally sans populism. And which is amazing, because in the interim budget too, the finance minister had eschewed the option of populism in the run-up to the general election. And now, after this outcome, they refuse to go back to the path of populism, which to me shows that there's a conviction in the idea of fiscal prudence. So to me, if there was one big takeaway from this Union Budget, it is this.
So you're saying that they haven't gone on to the direction of populism, which is a pleasant surprise for you, and they have carried on what they were thinking about, a developed India, the Amrit Kaal, the next 25-30 years, which would be extremely important. There has been a continuous support to capital infrastructure development. They know that this is the cornerstone. They know that it is the basis of a developed nation. A total allocation of 11,11,111 crore rupees. What do you have to say about it?
Well, absolutely, Vaibhav. See, the strategy for the last 5 years, particularly in the aftermath of the COVID-19 pandemic, was to bolster the capital investments in the economy to propel growth. Now, the private sector failed to do the needful, so the government stepped in. And we all know that today capital expenditure has been stepped up to 3.4% of GDP. But if you take up the state and the non-government investments, it comes to about 4.5-4.9% of GDP, which is very, very impressive. So development is the clear priority. And even in this budget, if you look at it, the packages that they have announced for Bihar and Andhra Pradesh, led by two of the NDA's allies, is very interesting. It's not that the government has diverted the central exchequer money to fund these programs. Instead, they are leveraging the fiscal strength of the budget to approach multilateral banks to finance the desired development in both these states.
Sir, there has been a continuous effort to put more money into the hands of the people by changing the tax regime, by reducing the customs duty on various products, and even exempting many of these products, which will further go on to have a positive domino effect in the manufacturing sector. How do you feel that this step will benefit the economy and the domestic households of the nation?
See, Vaibhav, it should contribute, because what we have seen again in the last 3 years, particularly in the aftermath of COVID and the unprecedented back-to-back economic crisis that we witnessed, you know, including the Ukraine-Russia conflict, then the subsequent increase of interest rates by the US Fed, which has drained the world out of liquidity and caused exchange rates to depreciate everywhere. In the aftermath of that, we have seen consumption getting hit in the economy. So any income that is in the hands of people would definitely contribute to stepping up consumption. And what we have seen in this budget, if you look at the tax concessions that have been announced, it's mostly at the bottom of the pyramid of the tax base that they have announced. So you have on an average, the FM gave a ballpark number of around 17,000 rupees per person.
Yes, sir.
Which may not be substantive at our level, but those who have joined the workforce recently or who are at the bottom of the pyramid, it's a big number. So hopefully all of this will begin to contribute to the consumption growth, which is very imperative right now. And I see all these actions attempting to not just grow the economy through an investment-led strategy, but also to bolster consumption.
Sir, the target of a fiscal deficit of 4.9 or lower than 4.5 in the coming years has been set by the Honorable Finance Minister. The Chief Economic Advisor, Dr. V. Ananth Nageswaran, had said while presenting the economic survey that the growth estimate would be 6.5 to 7%. We have already seen 3 years of continuous growth. Do you think they're more focusing on the long-term gains and they're being realistic in their targets?
Oh, Vaibhav, they are very realistic in their targets. One strategy which stands out of this government is they promise less and deliver more. So, which is a very clever strategy, because what happens is, A, you do not disappoint people. Second, you're building a trust quotient with everyone in general, not just your audience, which is in India, but global investors elsewhere. So, yes, these targets are very reasonable. And it is also to be noted that it's not just the government, but the Reserve Bank of India governor has repeatedly said that India is now embarking on a new growth trajectory. See, previously the growth trajectory was around 5 to 6%.
Yes.
Now we are seeing a pickup in the growth trajectory to 7 to 8%, which means your economy, as it grows faster, you know, the joys of compounding, as it were, your targets become realizable even faster. So the target of achieving 5 trillion could probably happen faster if India starts clocking 8% growth going forward.
Absolutely. So we have always talked about Make in India and Make for the World. Our domestic manufacturing industries have done tremendously well. We have been setting higher and better aims, let's say, in terms of more production and exports. A defense budget of 6.22 lakh crores this time from the Honorable Finance Minister. How do you think it will bolster not just the domestic market and the local requirements of our esteemed armed forces, but also contribute positively towards the exports?
See, Vaibhav, this is a tricky area because India's come late to this party. So to realize your defense capability domestically is a steep ask to do it immediately. So it has to be calibrated, because your defense forces need to be armed, and you have to be realistic that if you are not able to create the wherewithal in the country immediately, you will have to depend on imports. But as long as you're clear that you do eventually want to make it indigenous as much as possible, you are on the right path. But to expect that they'll be able to do it immediately would be unrealistic. So it's a strategy that will work well over time. We are too early in the game to assess the impact of it. But to add to this is a very important factor which this budget has sought to address, again to lay the foundations, not to deliver any shortcut or immediate solutions, is the issue of employability. See, there are two parts of jobs. One is to create the numbers, and the other is to create the employability, which is, I'm referring to skill.
Absolutely.
So the skill deficit in this country is enormous. I was looking at the economic survey, which says that 4.4% of India's youth are skilled, which is tragic. So which means you have to raise the skill levels of over 90% of India's youth to make them employable. And unless and until you make them employable and deliver the desired skill sets, you will never be able to achieve the level of indigenization in sophisticated areas like defense or other sectors. So they go hand in hand. It's a strategy that has to build on the foundation, basic foundation blocks, which include skills. And then, of course, you need to have an education building block. And that, thanks to the new education policy, which was announced in 2020, is creating the basis, allowing for this kind of synergy between skills and education, which will eventually work towards delivering a skilled workforce in India.
Absolutely, sir. Very rightly said. And that's where my next question was about to come. Prime Minister's package of 5 schemes and initiatives for employment, skilling and other opportunities for more than 4 crore youth over a period of 5 years. not just trying to improve the employment opportunities, but also improving the employability of these youth and giving them new skills. How long do you think will this go down the line in enhancing not just their own employability, but in turn having rather a multiplier effect on the economy and the industries?
See, Vaibhav, this strategy is great on paper, but for it to work on the ground, you need India Inc. to play its part too. The government on its own cannot improve skills, create jobs. It won't happen. Government is an enabler. It creates ease of doing business. It creates a circumstance. It creates a perfect law and order. It basically creates the environment for business to prosper. India Inc. has an investment in the strategy the government announced, because like we mentioned earlier, there's a skill deficit challenge in this country, and one of the biggest sufferers in this is India Inc. Now, the government is giving an incentive. So, they are shouldering part of the fiscal cost. So, hopefully, India Inc. responds to this incentive and joins this strategy, because without this, this will just remain a paper strategy. So for it to work on the ground, India Inc. has to play its part. And it's a win-win for them. They are going to shoulder only part of the fiscal cost, but they will be getting skilled workers with whom they can deploy in their workforce. So it's a win-win for all. And more jobs, better jobs for everyone.
So better amounts in the Mudra loans and a lot of boost to MSMEs have been given alongside development of new street markets in the urban development planning as well. How much do you think will this impact the economy and, of course, the urban cities which we have and the growing urbanization which we are seeing in the country?
See, Vaibhav, this is a very realistic approach to the current circumstances that India is facing. We have to accept certain things as given. Like we just mentioned, there is a skill deficit. There is an issue of low incomes. India has just managed to eradicate abject poverty, but poverty still exists. So given all these circumstances, you have to have out-of-the-box solutions. So creating better circumstances for basics like street markets, etc., or creating vegetable clusters around big consumption centers like urban areas are all clever strategies to create jobs and to solve a challenge. And these kind of so-called, not, you know, within quotes, very impressive strategies, we should not worry about it. We should keep our focus on the fact that every job is important. Every time you create employment, you are pulling up a family by the bootstraps, literally. And at the same time, you are creating an income stream. So you are, when they in turn consume, they are creating consumption boost in the economy, which in turn creates better capacities for investment to kick in. So in whichever way we boost consumption through job creation, no matter what's the nature of jobs, they're all very good steps.
Sir, any brief parting thoughts over the whole union budget and how will it impact India's journey towards a developed nation?
Vaibhav, my concluding thoughts are this is a great strategy which the government has announced, but they need to walk the talk. And for this, especially the next generation reforms, where the finance minister announced that they will be focusing on the productivity of the factors of production, which is labor and capital and land, they need to involve the states. At this point, the political discourse in this country is very binary in nature. But I hope and I trust our politicians are able to rise above their petty basis and forge the consensus that is required to get India to the desired level, which is one immediate metric in mind is to become the third largest economy in the world and by 2047, a fully developed economy.
Anil Padmanabhan, sir, thank you so much for giving us your valuable time and making this discussion an enriched one. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Vaibhav.
You were listening to a discussion on Union Budget 2024-25. The participants were Anil Padmanabhan, Economic Analyst, and Vaibhav J. Srivastava, Anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 92 8909 4044.